We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
One, we just, Bob Myers deserved space for us to discuss him. Now, there's even more interesting stuff. AAA in the chat says, Bob leaving says he doesn't think the core has it in them anymore. Now, I don't agree with that, but my overarching theme on the Joe Lacob portion of the press conference was... One, he can't hide the fact he's shocked Bob left, and he can't hide the fact he lost. Like, you know, but the second one was that dude was trying to, I think he was angry. I think he was conveying confidence. That dude is, if you think Joe Lacob doesn't want to win, like, now, does it mean he makes the right decision? Not saying that, but I will never question that dude's desire to win. You know what I'm saying?
He's a maniac, dude. He's a maniac. He's always selling. He feels like he got up on stage and he had to tell us, like, no matter what, all we give a shit about is when it's like, Joe, we know that. We know that, dude. We know that. Just let us know if Kirk's going to be the GM or not. I think you like it a lot better than I do. I find him a little grating, which is, again, why I think Bob left. But it's a little like, okay, just we get it. We know you want to win. We've heard it. The podcast is named Light Years After You. You know what I mean? Like, we get it. But it's a lot. I don't know if I liked it that much, Sam. So I feel like
you didn't. You mean you didn't enjoy him calling Bob Myers his fifth son or whatever he did?
And both a little condescending. He is 20 years older.
I have 4 kids. And I've said this before, I actually consider Bob my fifth. It's really hard to see your son, because that's what I kind of feel like this is. Leave and go off to do something else. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I understand it, because I don't.
Of course.
It's not in me to do that. I'm so competitive, and I know he is too. It's a really hard thing for me to understand why, but it's really not for me to understand why.
I mean, first off, we can both agree that dude's an open book. Joe Lacob is an open book. I don't disagree with you. He's grading. He's not easy to work for. Nothing he ever shows publicly makes me think, like, that seems like an easy boss, you know, like that sort of thing. I just think from a reality standpoint, I would rather have the top guy, the guy who ultimately controls how much money they spend, how many resources they spend, be too crazy in that direction than the opposite direction. You're always shooting for somewhere in the middle, but like that's not tends to be how it works. And I think maybe Bob walking away makes him think about it a little bit. I kind of tend to think a 67-year-old man can't really change that much. I mean, I'm 30 years younger, and
I'm probably never changing. So it's like, why do I expect someone 30 years my senior to change in that capacity, right? Like, it's at a certain point, your character is who you are. You just try to, like, you know, be more self-aware.
But people around you, like Bob, yeah, to kind of curtail that. You're kind of throwing the point out there. Maybe this gives him some type of realization. I mean, like, it's kind of like the Klay Thompson stuff, mm-hmm, where it's like, dude, like, at some point you're going to have to come in better shape and maybe curtail the shot selection. You look crazy with some of the shots you take, right? And we'll see if Klay changes. I mean, he's only like 32, but like, that's, you know, like that, he might not change because 32, like, he might.
Yeah, but he lost like 2.5 years. So he's like really like 30. Yeah.
He's like, I mean, his mental capacity, I mean, you could argue maybe 22, Klay is, but in a good way, and not in a bad way, in a good way. Just he's young.
He
at
hoops
heart, right?
Like Andy and Sam at a bar at 22, but that's a different conversation.
It's worked for him for a long time, but maybe now he's got to figure himself. And maybe the same with Joe, whoever they end up having next, or maybe. Maybe Joe is Mattson. Maybe he just needs someone as like a front guy. You know what I mean? Maybe he just Dunleavy just sits there and just says yes, right? Like, maybe it's that, right? Because I think
I have enough idea. I don't need more ideas in my head.
I don't need more. It's like, I know everything. I know everything. So
just go get me Wiseman.
Which is, to me, with the GM, it's going to be huge. It's not going to be Kirk, because I think you can't do that.
I think Joe's aware
enough. You can't do that. You can't make your son the GM.
I don't think Kirk wants to be put in that position either. Not that like it is, but like, yeah, to your point, I think it's
Kirk's not Kendall. Tell you that.
No, he's not.
He's not Kendall.
I seen that guy set screens. Kendall Roy could never. I'm very much so. And also, as fun as those analogies are, it's a little unfair. What I was gonna say though is I do think for Warrior fans, it's probably a good thing Joe reacted the way he did. I get the feeling he's gonna be probably more aggressive this offseason than he might have been if Bob stayed. The whole vibe I got from him was, oh, people think I'm not going to win. Without Bob, I will show you I will show you that I can do. Like, does that dude have a chip on his shoulder, in your opinion, Andy?
Yeah, is that a good thing, though? I genuinely don't know.
It's better than complacency, but there is a point where, you know, like, let's play the audio right now. It's better than complacency. Complacency is my sad Oakland A's, you know?
Yes.
So you don't want to be in that zone. But there is a point where you're too aggressive, and then you shoot your load in the wrong direction. So
restrictive rules that may not be directly aimed at you guys, but will impact you guys pretty heavily. How do you view that changing or not changing your future plans on roster?
I'm not going to comment on the roster because very much, because the truth is we have a lot of work to do, obviously, and we have time. We have until the draft and free agency, which is, you know, a month away or so. So we're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships. And you know, when we came here, this ownership group 13 years ago, we made a ridiculous proclamation about winning within 5 years. And of course, somehow we managed to do it, all of us, players and everybody involved. And we've continued to win. And look, the rules will change in the game, but we'll continue to do that. We're going to work really hard to do it. And I think we have really smart people and we'll do it.
I mean, it reminds me of when they lost the 16 finals and he's yelling at, it might have been Ethan or it might have been Marcus or TK. We will be very aggressive. We're coming back from this. We're like, you know, they lost the finals in game 7. It was a little, you know, embarrassing. Like, that dude does not like to lose. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Bob Myers, his expression there was priceless. He's just kind of trying not to show anything. And then at the end there, he's kind of zoning out, which tells me he's seen this speech before. He's seen this this rant from no Joey before.
Over under 1,000 times.
Not surprising. All of us did this together. I guess I don't doubt that he wants to win. I don't doubt that he wants to spend money to win. I don't doubt any of those things. I doubt who's going to get it done. I doubt who is he going to put in the position to, that's my fear. I mean, I think everyone has that. I mean, I would have doubted that even if Bob was still the GM, right? Maybe less doubt, but that's the fear now, is who the hell is going to run this ship? Because this is the biggest offseason left in this dynasty, right? You said the three moves. Those were the three biggest offseasons so far. The Andre, the KD, the D'Lo one, they all worked out. Now you've got this fourth one, I think, is going to be the biggest one, because this is going to be the one that is the end of Steph's career, that will dictate how the end of Steph's career will go.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah.
Who the hell was going to make the decisions?
I mean, so we can just say it. Like, everyone is assuming they're not going to hire from externally. Like, Daryl Morey's not coming in, you know? I don't know why that's the name I always go to, but, like, obviously everyone knows who he is, right? You know? Yeah. It's going to probably be Dunleavy, and Kirk will be elevated. And honestly, it's the same people who've been the voices of the Warriors room, just without Bob being above them, you know, which is, we'll see how that works. I mean, we didn't talk about this one earlier, but he said this about Mike Dunleavy. He said Bob Myers said he almost left 4 years ago. So 2019, 4 years ago, I thought, can I keep doing this? And how can I keep doing this? I talked to Joe. He said, what do you need? We brought Mike in. And he went into a long soliloquy about how, you know, that's kind of his guy. He trusts Mike. They have a great working relationship. It's someone, honestly, probably he feels he could just be more honest with and doesn't have to play internal politics, right? Like, you understand how that works. And he kind of made a pitch for Mike to take over, and everyone's assuming Dunleavy's going to be the guy who takes over, but, like, still different. It's not the same. You know what I mean?
Do you like that? I mean, like, do you have thoughts around? I mean, you know a lot more than me about it. Like, I don't know anything about Mike Dunleavy outside of, you know,
I mean, I can, I can never get over the fact that there's not a player I hated more than Dunleavy. Right. And I think it's hilarious. And it's not even his fault. He was just like the manifestation of the shitty era Warriors, you know?
Correct.
Yep. They had a lot of shitty players, but Mike got all the brunt of it in my
high draft pick. Heart. Easy to hate. I mean, he ended up being a basketball player.
And he talked shit to the fans. Remember that? Yep. He kind of told the fans, like, they don't know what they're talking about. And it's like, he's not wrong. It's not his fault the owner was trash, but you still don't say that, buddy. You know, anyway, that's whatever. He was 23. He was losing by 20 every night. I get the frustration. Not everyone's Monte Ellis going up there saying he's better than LeBron. I don't know. I feel like the Bob sales pitch helps. I feel like it can go two ways. Let me put it this way. Way one is, you remember how like Stevens took over for Ainge and people weren't really sure what that meant, but he actually made a bunch of moves that helped the Celtics move forward. And I know they didn't get anywhere, but it's not like they want anything under Ainge anyway. They still got better, you know, like in context, it got better. Or it could be the Bobby Evans replacing Brian Sabian, where they're like playing off the credibility of the previous guy, where you're like, this is my guy. Like, you know, it's the same, basically the same thing, you know? And then, you know, you look at it 2 years later, you're like, yeah, but it's not, because they're in last place. So not to go to either extreme, but like, I don't know, they're not going to go externally. So I just want to see how it plays out, honestly.
Do you think they should go externally?
No. I feel pretty strongly about this. You spent a decade building the best front office, having all these smart people you pay, you kind of have to hire internally. It sends such a shitty message if you go externally on them, in my opinion. Like, imagine working there and feeling that. Now, if you hire internally and they suck, then you can go externally. But I feel like in the short term, you have to at least give your guys a chance to prove that they can be the next guy.
It feels like Mike Dunleavy, is he even internal? He kind of just popped up out of nowhere and all of a sudden he's the guy and he's never really had the experience. So like, I don't feel too strongly. Now, if you told me that he's just the Tom of the organization, and he's just kind of like the yes man and Kirk is really running the show. And like, Kirk has been running a lot of that show for a lot. It's not like Bob Myers was sitting there making all the decisions, right? So like, I could be sold on that part. And there's obviously a bunch of other names. It's not just those guys. Maybe throwing Travis Schlenk. I mean, he kind of got demoted / you know, kind of moved upwards, sideways, whatever it is. So maybe you bring him back. He's someone that did good work for the Warriors. But I think I'm kind of with you. If you're going to hire, who's the guy that just got hired by the Wizards? Michael Winger, right? Who ended up like, he's
Clippers, yeah. A former Clippers guy, yes.
Former Clipper. Okay, I was like, yeah. So he's been around a lot. He's very sharp. He's one of those up and coming guys, kind of like when Bob was hired. If you're gonna go with one of those guys, just the dynasty's over, right? Just get Steph out of there. Like, just start over. If you're gonna hire one of those guys, start over, clean slate. Don't give them this kind of half cooked kind of thing that the Warriors have right now. So to me, I'm saying I kind of agree with you. It's just like, if you're gonna go try to keep this going, just do it with the guys that have been there. If you're gonna bring someone new in, just start changing.
What does this mean for the old guard, the guys who Steph is Steph. He's gonna retire a Warrior unless he demands out. They're not moving him. But Clay and Draymond, what do you think it means for those guys?
So this is the scary part, is who's going to have the conversations with those guys. It's not like Bob's gone. It's not like he's turning off his phone and can't reach him. But who's going to sit there and have the conversation with Draymond and Clay about contracts? That's the biggest thing. We could talk about shot selection with Clay and then like Draymond stop punching people or whatever. But dude, it's contracts, man. Who's going to talk to these guys about contracts? That's the scariest part. If you want to keep him, but it sounds like Joe wanted to keep him, so it tells me that Joe probably wants to keep Draymond and Clay, right? So if he
wanted, it doesn't seem like he wants to give away talent for the sake of it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he probably doesn't want to trade Jordan Poole either. I mean, somebody's going to have to convince him to do it.
which you know, who's going to do that now? Who's going to convince him that he has to trade Jordan Poole to actually try to win again? But who's going to do any of those things, Sam? I don't know. That's the scary part. And that's not just Draymond and Clay. That's veterans. Who's going to get Steph bought in if they end up moving off of Poole? Because maybe Steph's like, yo, we want him to stay. Who's gonna get Steph bought in? I don't know. I don't know the answers to any of those.
It's, I mean, let's put it this way. I can theorize as much as I want, but it's uncharted waters. That's what it is for the Warriors. It's uncharted waters. They've always had the Bob Myers consistency. The consistency's gone right now. He's stepping away, you know? There's a Joe Lacob quote. It doesn't matter if they're here or not. There's a lot of pressure. Our job is to win championships, period. And I'm going to expect that. We're going to expect that this year, next year, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. There's no point in doing this unless you're not trying to win a championship. No point. On the one hand, agreed, bro. Shout out. I like it. On the other hand, I just think he's trying to project a level of confidence when people are like, a little, you know, just, I don't know. You don't know. Like the confidence, like whether you think Bob is the greatest talent value or the worst or somewhere in the middle, like you knew what to expect from him. That's for sure.
It's like, it's the Warriors end up this offseason doing some amazing. Maybe they end up trading Poole for some great role players to Orlando and they get some good role guys. I mean, again, Bob was a guy. His team ended up signing Belly and all those guys that ended up working out. Otto Porter, those guys, right? But then last season, It didn't work out, right? And whose fault is that? I don't know. I feel like we tend to blame Joe when that happens.
Correct.
And then we give the credit to Bob. And it's like, nobody really knows who's – maybe Joe was the guy that was big on Otto Porter. We don't know. So, yeah.
Maybe Kirk was the one saying we got to get Otto,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
That sort of thing.
Right.
That sort of thing. It's like it's a little more nuanced than you usually expect. So
Steve saying no to half the people that the Warriors bring to him because Steve's like, we won't play him, right? You know, and then Steve doesn't play the young guys, you know. So you know, you can always blame Steve too. Steve it is interesting because Steve has I think just as much power as a lot of people in their front office. But he escapes blame for the moves because he's just a coach. But you know,
just a coach. Just a coach who played Anthony Lamb all season over the guys we drafted in the lottery. Just a coach. Anyway.
Hey, hold on. Before we get out of there. Before we get to calls. Before we get to the goons. Steve Kerr, one more year left on the contract. What happens to him?
That's interesting. My gut take before the Bob Myers news was he's going to get extended until Steph is. I don't know if he's going to coach beyond Steph, but I think they're kind of a package deal. Does that make sense? Yeah. And now, I don't know. It's all an unknown. I keep going back to this. Part of me thinks Joe Lacob's going to be super motivated because it feels like a shot to his ego, you know? But I don't know what that means in terms of, like, does that mean he makes the right decision or does that mean he throws $250 million to Jaylen Brown? You know, like something like, you know what I'm saying? Like you can go either direction on that one. And it's, we're going to have to see it. Like I'm still processing the way I feel on all stuff.
All right. To the goons.
To the goons.
I think Steve stays. He's not going anywhere, but let's go to the
goons. I would be shocked if he goes anywhere anytime soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get to it. Oh, Mr. Lau.
It's crazy, man. You know who's the first person that probably texted Bob as soon as he made his announcement? Anthony Lamb. He was like, bro, thank you so much, man. You made my fucking season lit, man. Thank you so much, man. Can I get your mailing address? I got to send you a Lightyear shirt. Yeah, man. What's going on, boys? I see we got different time zones here. We're in the off season.
We are. How you feel about this? What are your thoughts on Bob stepping away? Did you think he was going to?
I felt, to address that, I think he was gone. It was kind of noticeable. I thought, honestly, he was gone after the whole KD got hurt thing. You know, when like KD got hurt. Because when you guys were talking about memorable Bob Myers moments, you guys were talking about the transactional version. But for me, my top three moments for Bob was when Klay got hurt, when KD got hurt. And then that season when Steph broke his hand and he kind of had to navigate the season with like our team full of just anybody. So I think those were some critical moments where it was like the humanity of Bob. So in 2019, I thought he was gone because he was getting killed in the media for like letting
KD
play. Yeah, so yeah, I thought that like they were going
to. Oh, that's right. They were going to sue Bob. They're going to sue Bob.
That was fucking bullshit.
And then, like, Bob had to shed a bunch of tears and, like, man. And then KD had to post a pic of him in, like, the hospital bed with the tubes. That was crazy.
I remember that. We didn't bring that. I'm glad you brought it up, Alo. It's just – that was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I had people DMing me. I had lawyers who I don't know if they were lawyers or not. They were just, like, handy, like – Did you like
people playing lawyers online?
Yeah, like let me get on the pod. I could talk to you about how much money these guys can sue the Warriors for. I'm like, dude, fuck off. What are we talking about here? Do you guys know how these teams work? You think Bob got in that room and told Kevin?
Bro, they really think it's Friday night. They really thought it was Friday Night Lights. Like Bob was in there saying, can give you the needle. You're gonna be good, boy. You know, like, come on, man. Like, relax.
Oh my God.
Like KD didn't have his own doctor. Like, come on, man. These dudes are. It's not West Texas football, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm sad to see. Well, today I was actually like on the move while I was running a bunch of errands. So I was watching the press conference off my phone. I was getting my haircut while the press conference was going on. I was like, damn, that's crazy. And then I'm driving somewhere, and I'm like, damn. And then there was like never a real tearjerker moment in the whole thing. I feel like he showed way more emotion when KD got hurt, or when Klay got hurt. So I feel like with the lack of emotion and like, you know, I feel like this was already in the play. I feel like comparing it to the Last Dance documentary, this is the first domino. This is what Jerry Krause, you know, like this is the first domino to drop. And then now, you know, he just doesn't have the balls to be like, all right, Draymond, you know, we got to figure something out. So it's going to be funny, man. It's
an interesting take. Yeah.
It's the first domino, man. So
I think that's scary
times.
People have brought that up where it's like, and I think somebody asked Bob about that, where it's, you know, with this offseason where Draymond might not be back or Klay might not be back. Is that one of the reasons? And obviously he said no. He was like, so we've had tougher off seasons, but I can't imagine that wasn't something that was in his head where it's like, we talk about the humanity stuff with him where he's such a great friend to people. Maybe he's too good of a friend where it's just like, look, he's just like, look, if I get a whiff of a notion that Steph and Klay and Draymond aren't going to play together, I'm gone. Right. Like, you're right. Maybe that's something that played a role.
Do we think? So are you saying we think like Bob didn't want to make the tough calls? Because that's something that has been posed to me a couple of times. And like everyone's look, man, it's like pulling the Band-Aid. We're less than 12 hours from the Woj bomb or whatever you want to call it. Right. Yeah. Everyone's got theories. Right. So,
you know, do we think
it's because he doesn't want to make the tough call?
You know who he needs to learn more from? He need to be like Greg. He need to be, you know, he got to fire people on Zoom and turn it off.
I mean, look, the Waystar Warrico employs one person over 6'7" with brown hair. Warriors also. I mean, no one over 6'7" other than Looney on the roster. So.
And he doesn't have
like a nice head of brown hair like Greg or Bob. So
we're toast.
There's a lot of similarities between my two guys.
I love this though. I play in an open gym for some hoop, and then there's a bunch of Laker fans that are just there, right? And they're all talking shit. And then we're all just talking about our offseason, and it's like I got, you know, like I don't know what the Warriors are going to do, but there's two things that can manage our expectations. One, absolutely nothing happens. We keep the same team. We try to run it back. We have the same problems. And, you know, we've been here before, though, so we know how this is going to feel, which is inevitably what's going to happen. That's just Bay Area sports. But I think the second one is now that Bob's gone, it's kind of, you know, whoever fills this, the, you know, like the new spot, they got to be like the Matt Ishbia vibe, and they got to shake it up, man. They got to, you know, bring in like a Carl Anthony Towns, like a Patrick Beverley, bring in all these guys, man, because you're going to be critiqued off your first move. And if you make no moves and we're in the exact same position, then what was the point of Bob leaving?
Mike Dunleavy's great first day. Move is going to be converting Anthony Lamb to a multi-year contract.
If that happens, this is on record. If that happens, I'll just accept that he's a part of the team. You know, I'll root for him. I clap it up. Like I'll accept it. But I'm still in the denial phase right now that this guy's living my dream.
So I love.
Don't even think about that. But that's just a great move because I think they're not bringing anyone new. But the Matt Ishbia stuff is interesting because now that Joe Lacob, maybe you can argue he has free reign. And when you talks about him, when you talk about him, kind of saying, we're going to keep winning, we're going to be aggressive. Yeah, maybe he's just going to go out there and go, let's just get Carl Anthony Towns. Let's just trade five. Which, you know, maybe Bob would have last year told him, like, hey, like,
probably not. Bro, you're not going to be happy about this in a year's time. You know?
and Bob probably would have been right, maybe. But Joe's kind of, you know, I can do this without Bob. We're going to do this without Bob. I'm going to run the show. Kirk is going to run the show. And so maybe that's – and, you know, I'll be there. I'll be front and center. I'll say yes to them. I'll praise the move because you got to go and run a risk, right?
I was having a conversation with someone, and they were saying how – like, basically, we were just talking about bad draft picks. And then we were just talking about, like, the history of the NBA and bad draft picks. And then he brought up a good point. He was like, in the NBA, people draft on potential. And right now, it's like – you get drafted not because what you could do right now, but it's what you could do in 4 years. And right now, look at all the draft picks. We're drafting out potential, but when is it going to hit? We need a guy that could play now. You know, Steph got 4 more years. Like, we got to go now, man. So, the mock draft stuff, I don't even care. We just got to get – I got a list of 5 guys that we need to get. We just got to get them, dude. Yeah, we got to get Kyle Anderson, Pat Bev, OG Anunoby, Cat. We're done.
Bro, is Kyle Anderson the number one Warrior killer like these days? Dude, like,
it's amazing. It's, move.
It's Andrew Nembhard, actually.
Bro, I've put him in so many trade machine moves. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm like, they need buckets. They might, you know, they might want a little Jordan Poole. Steve Kerr wants a point guard who doesn't turn it over. He wants Brad Wanamaker who can shoot over 27%. You know,
we just need this guy. That's all. Jordan. We need Jordan, man. We need to step up, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
We are here in the off season, boys. I love talking to you guys, man. This is it keeps me sane. I have nothing to do at night anymore.
Hey, you got the Giants, brother. You got the Giants.
Patrick Bailey, Casey Schmidt. Let's go.
Let's go.
We're back.
Sam's tuned out. Sam's tuned out.
No, I'm actually enjoying the Giants a little bit. Like, I'm hate watching, but, you know, they are fun to watch.
Honest baseball right there. Honest baseball.
Is it honest? Before we get you out of here, Alau, tell the people who ordered shirts what the update is.
All right, guys. Thank you for the support. The shirts are now in production. I just got a text from the warehouse people. They're like 1.5 weeks away from arriving, like, just in packaging, so it'll be to you in like 2 weeks. They're gonna be sick. We're gonna make a few extra just so you know, just in case you missed out. Maybe you could get it through Andy and Sam. I don't know. I'm gonna give it all to them and they'll figure it out. But we're gonna make a few extra ones and love. You know, come on,
love.
Let's appreciate go. It, brother.
Yeah, my anytime, you, man. Let's go.
You have a great evening.
I'll try to, man.
All right. Let's get next. Let's get to Eugene here. Joe, what's up, man?
What's up, boys? I'm going to be honest. I just tuned in. I only caught Aaron Lau exiting, so I have no idea what you guys talked about.
No, good.
But Steve Kerr needs to be the GM.
You can guess what we talked about.
I mean, I can guess. I can guess. And I think you'll agree. Steve Kerr needs to be a GM of the Warriors. I think I think it's a good move because it keeps the continuity. Like, he can deal with Draymond. He can be the Steph whisperer. Let's be honest, his tactics, his coaching, I feel like the league is catching up. I think him being a GM, I know he's had a bad record, right, with the Sun. Or not bad, just mediocre. But I really think he can keep the Lakeup fights, equal. I'm really worried about if Dunleavy comes in, it's going to be the Lakeup show. If Kirk comes in, it's over. It's over, you know? So I hope Steve Kerr's a GM. I would love your thoughts on that. See what you guys think about that.
I love the topic. We actually kind of danced around this one. I'll let Andy go first.
Yeah, but we didn't go into it like Eugene did. I think one thing you mentioned is his coaching is falling behind. His schemes, the way he's kind of – there's no – I mean, I top three coach in the NBA, mm-hmm. right? I would always say, but I mean, do we just watch what Eric Spoelstra did to the Celtics? Do we just watch what he did to the Bucks and then the Knicks and then the Celtics? There is a large chasm between number one and number three and number two and number three. And I do think you can argue that Steve hasn't really breathed any new life into anything offensively. Like, it's just some of it's scheme. Some of it's like, what do you expect them to do with Draymond and Looney? But some of it's also, can you do something different? Because I can create a defensive scheme that can guard your offense. Like, unless you have Steph going for 50, it's not that hard to defend.
And the development stuff. Like, I just refuse to believe Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga would be where they are if Eric Spoelstra was the coach. And they probably, like, hey, look, the two timeline stuff was always obnoxious, particularly with how much the Warriors tried to, like, kind of publicly jack off about it and then like pretend they never said it. That was my favorite thing, where they're just like, well, you know, we just want to win. What do you mean two timelines? Oh, we never said that. TK made that up. It's like, all right, bro. All right, nice. Blame TK, you know.
Blame
shout
me.
Out. Shout out. What? Shout out, friend of the show. But what I was gonna say is they undoubtedly they haven't really developed shit. So
they have not.
And that's like at least some portion of coaching. Like, you got to do better than Anthony Lamb. So that's another thing. Even if Steve's not going to the front office, like, time to refresh the coaching staff once again, you know,
some
capacity. And I don't hate the idea. I'm intrigued by it, even though I'm, you know, Steve's still just, he's a super valuable basketball mind. So it's like, you don't want to get rid of someone like that in any capacity. Like, that's
you don't.
Sure.
I don't want him to go to the Spurs. I think if you keep him in the GM role, it keeps him away from the Spurs. And what do you guys think about, is kind of outlandish, but putting Jama Mahala, is that how you say his name?
I always forget. Yeah.
Someone like him as a head coach, someone young who has history development, who will try out things. I'm just curious. I don't know if that's too crazy. That's just a thought that I've always had, and I love that pairing. So,
Gene, appreciate you, man. Keep moving. I'm intrigued, but I also like this is the one thing I keep thinking about. Steph's 35. He just played like an MVP. We're not going too experimental just yet. You know what I'm saying?
They're
not the Boston Celtics ringless, just shitting on themselves every playoffs. They know how to get it done. We can't just, you know, they deserve a little respect.
Kuminga and Moody, it's year three. Jordan Poole, it's year five.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're running back, I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? Shit. Plays like he's year one.
Gotta get better.
Those guys just gotta get better, right? It's year three for Kuminga. Although you can argue it's Kuminga's year one because dude doesn't get to play. Same with Moody. So but they gotta get better. All right.
Let's get to our guy Tashion. What's up, man?
Oh man, it's not gonna lie. I was kind of sad to hear about the news about Bob Myers leaving, even though we knew as soon as that midway through the season article about the whole dysfunction of the whole organization, that's when everyone should have known that it was time for Bob to leave. And it's like, you could even argue that even 2019 that he probably should have left, considering some of the internal turmoil that he was going through, apparently, especially the way that he was crying about KD. But you know, I think we could do a whole bunch of reminiscing about the good days about Bob, about all throughout the summer as we try to figure out who is going to not only pick up the slack, but also who are we going to get in like in the draft and maybe trade, etc. But I'm kind of curious about what you guys kind of think about some of the moves that previous GMs in Warriors history that you thought was going to go, that you thought was going to go horribly wrong, but actually worked out, mainly because I want to try to keep some relatively good perspective on like what is to kind of look forward to, not only in the next 3 years with Steph last remaining years of his prime, but maybe in like the last like couple of years of this dynasty in general. So it's like, I'm curious, like what kind of moves have you was surprised you, even though the Warriors were shit? Like let's keep the we believe Warriors out of it, but let's kind of like what kind of moves surprised you most importantly before the dynasty in general?
Well, let's start with Joe Lacob's first move. I didn't like the David Lee move. It just felt like, oh great, we're gonna get a dude who gets a bunch of empty calories, you know, that sort of thing. And they were, not only did David Lee help them get to the playoffs and kind of establish some form of identity and culture and just move in a positive direction, they were able to pivot off him as quickly as possible. Part of me was like, they're giving him all this money and now we're going to have to watch him forever. And Joe Lacob showed me, no, when something better comes along, I'll move off of this. I don't care what he has to get paid. You know, I'll get it done. I'll do it. And so for me, that was a big moment when I think about Lacob and his braggadocious ways. The dude's a little bit of a pivoter, more so. Your question was pre-Lacob, and I'm trying to think of my favorite move. The obvious one is trading Dunleavy and Troy Murphy for Al Harrington and Steven Jackson and We Believe. And I know you said don't say it, but like I don't know how else to put it. Other than that, like fair. I would say when they made the move for Baron Davis, that's the only other time they've done something where I'm just like, okay, they got a dude in here who's better than anyone they have. Yes, he's a little injured and going through some bad times, but like, go for it, you know?
I think the interesting thing about what most of the goons are kind of talking about is like either moving off of or letting Clay, Dre walk in. I don't necessarily agree with that line of thinking. I think, but this is definitely the year to decide which timeline you want to do specifically. And the reason why is mainly because the CBA freaking sucks. First off, CJ and freaking Grant Williams, who apparently has those weird forehead herpes from like that one Star Trek character, like, God, oh my God, bro. He really just wanted to mess up not only the Warriors, but also mess up the mid-level guys in the NBA. It's like, dog, do you not understand this messes up your money? So you can't be that dumb, bro. Especially when you've got your own contract negotiations. But that's a different point. But I'm always curious, like, why did the thing that surprised me in the lowest hanging fruit that the Warriors missed out on this year is like, why didn't they pick up on like Vogel or any other head coach level mind other than maybe that they don't really want to be assisted to
Kenny Atkinson was supposed to be that guy. I mean, he's been that guy for a few years, but yeah, I mean, you're right.
But the thing that made the Warriors coaching staff great was it was like a trifecta along with Jama and some of the development guys. It's that it was a trifecta with Kenny Atkinson with innovating the offense a little bit, Mike having some creative new ways to implement the defensive schemes with different types of zones in the last playoffs. And then you also had Kerr with his experience and being willing to evolve. And so I was always curious, is like, if you had those three different minds, it's like, why don't you just have those three different individuals to bounce off of each other? Because I think you had a winning formula there. So why don't you just try to recreate it with someone else? And maybe the answer to that question, unfortunately, might be there is no one else. But, you know, I was just curious that they didn't want to try it because it worked for them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's just as annoying as this Warriors season was to me, this organization has been pretty stable with the same brain trust. And I'm just curious to see where they go from here. You know, whether it's coaching changes from, you know, like there's some big changes that are coming. Tatjan, appreciate you, brother. We should end with shout out with our guy Neil.
We got one more. Oh yes. Hey, is Neil coming on? We could talk some Succession.
Let's talk some Succession. Neil, turn the camera on, brother.
What's happening,
let's
guys?
Go.
I'm loving the Succession references.
If people are gonna be if people haven't seen it, maybe this is where you turn off the show. Yeah. But
go watch it.
Not my problem, yeah. Guys.
All right, what you got bro, for us before
been, I have a Succession. It's been tank, over but... 48 hours. We don't need to spoiler watch people.
Yeah, I mean, so quickly, like on the Bob Myers stuff, I don't know. I'm not. I actually wouldn't be too mad about Dunleavy. Like there's no. I don't think there's that much proof that he would be bad at it. I think my only concern is if Lacob kind of goes Jerry Jones and he starts like he made like a point in the press conference about like ownership and being involved in the team. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you can be involved, but like when you get a little too involved and you start making personnel decisions and you like hire a kid to be like a GM and then you're like doing like drafts from your yacht. I don't know. That's my only concern, I think, on the whole Lakeup front, you know, going forward. But yeah, it sucks. It's a sad day. I mean, Bob is just a grounding force, mainstay, underrated, really underrated part of the organization. I feel like he never really got the as much shine as like, you know, obviously the main core guy, Steve Kerr, all those.
Kirk, Kent, Joe. Yeah. Kent,
yeah.
Agree.
Kirk, yeah.
The core four.
Wait, so he said Joe said he has four sons. So it's Kirk. Who are the other two? Are we missing two more?
Connor.
One of them is running for president. Yeah, he's gonna win Kentucky.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, that was the best series finale that I've ever watched of television. It was the perfect ending for everyone involved. It was everything that I wanted. It wasn't about winning. It wasn't about losing because everyone lost. It was perfect, man. That was what I thought Succession was about. And they did it in 90 minutes. They did it in 90 minutes, and I was locked in the whole time. I don't know.
It's my only Succession take that I'm going to disclose right now is I think they nail the interpersonal dynamics of working with family better than any show I've ever seen. Like, obviously, not everyone who works for family business works for a multi-bazillion dollar conglomerate with all that sort of stuff. But, like, just the complexities, like, the issues people have and that sort of stuff. Like, it's pretty good. And it's very hard for me to watch Joe Lacob but not think, like, Succession, you know? Like, I'm sorry. Did he not just seem like Logan Roy up there the entire time?
Run full Logan. Yeah.
We will win.
He's just screaming on
can't,
top.
Can't help it. He can't lose in the press conference.
Yeah. When Kirk screams, I'm the eldest boy, when his draft review is vetoed, then that's when we know it's done for, you know. No, the comparisons are apt for sure.
That line shook me. I'm just like, yo my, that was when he kind of reverted back to being a 10-year-old. Anyway, great show, I think. Shout out to Joe Lacob. Shout out to his we're gonna keep winning championships no matter what. It never gets old. That's the thing about Lacob, right? It never gets old. So he's always gonna say the same shit. You know what he's gonna say.
All right, Neil, man. I appreciate you. Andy, you have a great evening. Appreciate everyone who tuned in. Be out in pod form shortly.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.